Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You're listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
So, folks, this week we have a guest, Celine Yeager. We can introduce you.
Thanks.
the badass of all badasses in endurance sport. Now kind of known as like the hormone expert. Is that fair to say?
Sure. Women's sure. You're hormones? Introducing me way better than I would myself. That's great.
No, it's such a pleasure to have you on. I know at least, Jocelyn and I, a little piece of us like geeks out just knowing that like we've read your words for many years and,
Yes.
Such a pleasure.
My 18-year-old self, when I first got into road biking and bike racing, read all the cycling magazines. So totally a big fangirl here.
Well, thanks. I wrote a lot of words. 27 years over there for bicycling. That's and of awesome. Course, they'll repurpose it till the end of time. So that lives on in an infinite. Yeah. Anyway.
So we have Kelly's out, but we have Jocelyn, Khadija, Celine, and I guess I'm the Kelly host of the week.
Yeah, I said Sarah's in charge. Sarah's gonna lead us.
Definitely not in charge. So one of the super exciting things, reasons why we have you on, Celine, is to kind of do a little cross promotion here about the hormonal series. If you wanna. Can you fill us in a little bit?
Yeah. So, this is a topic that comes up so much and there's so many, there's so much information and misinformation and confusion about women's hormones still to this day. Many reasons for that. But we decided to do a four-part series on it on the Women's Performance Podcast with Dr. Carla DiGirolamo, who is a reproductive endocrinologist and has just hormones are her thing, and not only in her professional life, but she's also a CrossFit health doctor. She consults with Wild Health, and Olympic athletes and train and is a trainer herself. So she really understands it from every angle. She understands hormones and performance and women and hormones and performance. So we divvied it up into four different shows. The first one is just 101, like how do your ovarian hormones impact your performance. We talk about birth control because that's an X factor that half of all women athletes are on, and a lot of times that doesn't even get included in the conversation. We talk about things like fertility and, all the myths around that, like do you have to stop training and all of the things that people hear about hormones and fertility. And then we have another episode that is on like hormonal conditions like PCOS, endometriosis, all of those, how those impact performance. And we will also be doing one on pregnancy and then a Q&A at the end. So we have like four different ones. We're answering everyone's questions at the end. So it's been really fun. I don't know if you guys know Carla, but she's very Boston. She's very down to earth, and she's just a fun person to talk to.
Excuse my ignorance, but I do not know what PCOS is.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay.
Yes. And it's very quite common, actually, and it is when women have proportionally more androgens or male hormones than female hormones, so it causes a lot of sort of secondary male characteristics and also some insulin resistance. It's not just sort of about like, oh, I've got a little more facial hair than I want. It causes it can also cause some infertility issues, so we talk about that. And I have actually quite a few cycling friends who have had it, and it's a little difficult to manage.
So, oh, that was informative, because I knew what the acronym stood for, but I didn't actually know like the features of that syndrome.
I didn't know the acronym. I have so many engineering acronyms in my head. Okay.
Not enough room for more acronyms. Yes. You're like, I'm maxed out. In engineering, so PCOS means something totally different.
No, I'm sure it does.
Well, awesome. We're really happy to have you on. I promise we're only going to exploit your knowledge for one segment of the show. We're going to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to go through the run list and get cracking on our show.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again, and I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year, and I used TryHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TryHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TryHard. I think it's like, definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the TryHard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20 feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
Okay, so today we are going to talk about sizzling heat in Singapore, itsy bitsy Team USA bikinis, and Celine dropped some serious knowledge. And then to finalize our little show here, we're going to have a question about a question. All right. So sizzling in Singapore. Jocelyn, we know you watched. We know you're in on the details here. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened this past weekend?
Oh my gosh, T100. It's tough. Well, the time zone stuff was hard. So I had aspirations of like getting up at 5 a.m. to see the end of the race. That I slept in till after 6 a.m. That is sleeping in for me. Usually I get up at 5 to go work out, even on the weekend sometimes. But yeah, it was super hot. There was I think a lot of DNFs. The male winner, like, was a wild card, Yori, and he, like, was super passed out at the end. It was, like, kind of a little tragic to watch if you guys saw that clip of him after crossing the finish line.
Well, and the way they were like, this is what it takes to win an Ironman, folks. You know, I mean, did you see that post? It was terrible. Like, this is why triathlon is the hardest sport in the world.
Yeah, it was so sad because he was like, can someone just hold my hand? And it was like, oh, poor guy. He probably thought he was dying, like, for real.
Yeah, so we kind of predicted, based on the forecast and your experience in that part of the world, like, it was going to be really hot. There was going to be
carnage.
There was going to be carnage, and that's exactly what happened. It doesn't appear like they shortened the distances at all or made any real concessions for the heat, right?
They did allow, like, ice buckets, I saw. They had, everybody had, like, a little cooler, and as they went through trends, but I've been on races not half that hot, and you're a quarter mile out of transition, and it's gone.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine.
You like and know heat, and it probably would be a little hot for you, Khadija. Yeah. So I guess I'm trying to, like, we as athletes, as people who care about the athletes, we're probably on the side of, why didn't they shorten it? Why didn't, like, you know, just in terms of safety, we're thinking from that perspective. But I've been trying to think from the race organizer perspective, from the PTO perspective, like, what are the pros? What, like, if you're sitting in that room, it's, we know it's all dudes in the PTO, like, decision office. Like, what is the conversation going on? They're like, yeah, this is what we're going to do. This is why we're going to go ahead. Like, what is,
they're probably like, argument? They're professionals. They can handle it. Like, I don't think they should have shortened it, but I think they could have moved it from a 2 p.m. start time.
Okay. All right. So they're probably thinking, so 2 p.m., my guess is, like, the optimal time for TV?
Viewer, yeah.
So viewership.
For, so, in what time zone?
And permits as well. You permits. Don't, I don't know what they had to do as far as permits are concerned over there. I know they're strict about everything else in Singapore. So.
It is Singapore. True.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, like, do you think there's, maybe this is just me being really cynical, there's a part of them that's like, yeah, this is going to be epic. Like, people,
oh, like,
are,
this will make great
out.
Television.
This is going to be great, yeah. Television.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Hunger Games.
Basically, that's what they were looking for. You could tell from some of the commentary.
All right. So really, everybody's just as cynical as me. Yeah. So I hear Jocelyn saying, okay, these are professionals. They're going to be fine. All right. Celine, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I'm not as cynical as you guys are, but or maybe just you. So I don't know that if it was just for the spectacle, but I see bad decisions made all the time. You know, I'm primarily in cycling, and I think that they just, the logistics of changing things are so daunting that often they just don't. And they are often in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because if you do change, then you have people saying, but I prepared all this thing for two, you know, like, everyone is screaming at you. And my husband puts on events, so I understand, like, what that actual rubric looks like to change an event. So kind of try to always give grace, you know, even then they could have made other concessions, though, right? Even if you're going to stick with the time.
No, you're absolutely right, because even within the professionals, you're going to have those who say, hey, you know, I really think that we all knew this was going to be a hot race. It's in Singapore. We're professionals. Like, we're prepared for this. And probably other folks that are like, we knew it was going to be hot, but this is extreme. You need to make some accommodations for that. So there is, you're right. You can't make everybody happy. And I'm sure if they had shortened the run course, for example, there would be huge outcry because the results would have been different.
Yes.
And, you know, yeah. It's going to blow up in your face no matter what. I guess I just have to think, like, with climate change, extreme weather events, every event needs to really have these contingency plans in place. And it just feels like they're scrambling last minute when it seems like, how are you scrambling last minute to to think what you're going to do.
You know, it really makes the Olympic trials marathoners seem like a bunch of whiny sissies, though, because they wanted to move it from 12 noon, right, to, and it got moved to 10 a.m. They would not have been happy about a 2 p.m. marathon in Singapore.
Yeah, but I give them credit because they were kind of collective as athletes.
They rallied together.
Yes. Yes. Whereas I think in this case, like, so much power goes to the PTO. Like, that's where it's really interesting, like sanctioned versus unsanctioned races. Like, there's no organizing body with rules, set rules. Like, who holds the power with races like this? And like, the organizers hold the power, but other races, like, you have your governing bodies. I mean, it's just, there's this gray area for sure.
I feel like the PTO athletes could have all banded together. I mean, there's not that many of them. They could have, like, been like,
I mean, they're considered the owners, right?
Like, if all 20 of them had been like, no, we're not racing at 2 p.m. Like, what are you going to do?
Well, and
you know what I always say? Solidarity is an action word. If you're not making it an action word, it's meaningless.
No, I mean, it's true. And that's where it's interesting. Like, there probably wasn't consensus between athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that's where you almost do sometimes need to have like an organizing body with a set of rules, because athletes are going to make decisions that aren't necessarily in their best interest. It's short-term interest.
Ego. Ego will always win.
It's not even necessarily ego. Like, do you think that's what it comes down to?
Yeah, I think some of it's ego. Because, you know, everybody like, oh, it was the hottest. It was the windiest day. And I went out and went hard. And yeah, it's ego.
Yeah, well... it's going to be interesting to see what happens down the road, and whether that not they have more decisions to kind of plan for this, because I feel like this is something that all race directors are going to be grappling with. But you know what probably isn't the solution? Having the world's smallest bikini bottoms.
It could have, if they were all in an segue, outfit, man, like that, they may have been cooler.
All right, Khadija, I know you have some thoughts about these uniforms. Can you tell us?
USA track uniform.
Do they come with free bikini waxes? That was the first thing. I was, you know, when I was in college, I asked about my briefs, and we had to wear briefs and a bra. And basically the coach, the words loomed into, that's how they got butts in seats. The girls were dressed in, and I just, from that point on, this, and this was before I became Muslim, I was like, you know what? I'm not wearing that. I'm not, you know, I'm not the poster child for, you know, nah, it's not. And I even posted on my Facebook page, I know the German Olympic team, the gymnasts, they made a clear statement in Tokyo. They actually wore long unitards. None of them were Muslim, but they made a statement as a team to say, we're not here for sexualization. We can be elite athletes and dress the way we want to. And I think people need to stop policing women's bodies. If you want to wear less, fine. But if you want to wear more, it shouldn't be a problem. There are too many sports where you have to fight to be who you are. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
What's in Nike? I don't defend Nike often, but in Nike's defense, they do have a range of outfits that the women can choose from. But it's just that the briefs, so some women do prefer racing in the briefs. It's just when they were on the mannequin,
it looks like a front wedgie.
Thank you. I was looking for the right description there. Yeah, it looks like a front wedgie. And even like the women who the runners who, you know, don't mind wearing minimal outfits, I'm like, this is a little skimpy. This is not as much coverage as I need.
I really thought that maybe they picked a size that was like 10 sizes too small for the mannequin, and it just got stretched up that way. It was kind of hard to tell.
No. Even some of the athletes who modeled some of the kits, they wore, I guess, like boxer shorts or underneath, because they were like, no, I can't do that.
Oh, I did not see the photos of the actual models in them.
Yeah. Well, and also, would it stay put? I mean, that's all I can think of is like running with that. And I don't know. Wouldn't it just travel? Wouldn't it travel up?
Can you imagine doing a long jump in that? The sand.
The burns.
Yeah. No.
Or hurdling. Hurdling with those. Ooh.
Yeah, no.
But then the men's outfit that they decided to
promote, they don't have a,
none of the men's outfits are like that.
They also don't have an option like that.
Exactly.
They don't have a banana hammock option.
Why don't they?
Good question. Why isn't that one of their 20 options?
Some guy is like, we have options for you, but wouldn't you like to wear this?
You know, it's like,
no, I wouldn't.
Some might, you know, I kind of want to see what happens if they open that up as a possibility. Like, for every female track athlete who decides to wear the briefs, every male,
agreed.
Equity on agreed. The track, baby.
I don't want to see that. But I do
butts and seats, man.
I do remember when they started making the beach volleyball player dudes wear shirts, and I was disappointed.
Yeah, but do you see the outfits that they have the beach volleyball women wearing?
Yeah, so why do the guys have to wear shirts? That's not fair.
They made them wear shirts?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, they're not.
Why? They fought the women who didn't want to wear the...
Yeah, but almost every federation wears a thong. I think there was like a Team Egypt, and there was a couple of other volleyball teams. They were in hijab, but everybody else has thongs and a bra on.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you are, say, like a 14-year-old girl who's watching volleyball, beach volleyball, and you're like, that's what I have to wear if I want to be competitive. Yeah. I'm out. Yep. I mean, we already see such high attrition for girls in sports. Like, I think you do have to think about that. What kind of, like, not many girls want to opt into, this is the trajectory of how much exposure for my body that I need to, you know, take on board if I want to be competitive in my sport.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, clothing. I mean, I don't think people realize the impact of clothing and visibility, and that, especially like you said, on young girls.
We do advertisements about it. We give lip service to it with Dove ads, but we don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Do you feel differently as an athlete with more coverage, Khadijah?
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten comments from people, negative and positive. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I was in a 6-year battle with World Triathlon and USA Triathlon just to get guidelines for hijabi athletes on the books. There's a young lady who played basketball in Atlanta. She was one of the best players in the United States. She lost all of her time as a pro athlete fighting being able to wear hijab and long sleeves under her basketball uniform. I mean, it's even now with swimming, I know so many Muslim women who want to swim, but there's nothing where every swim event that I do, I don't worry about it because I do swim events because I want to do it to practice for triathlon. But if I was serious about it, every single swim event I compete in, I would technically be disqualified. And that's what was happening to me with triathlon if it wasn't a wetsuit legal race. Hmm. So, I mean, these sports have to recognize that if you want to invite everybody, if you want the best mixture of everything this country has to offer, you have to make sure that every single athlete is accommodated. Not to cheat, not to be better because of what they're wearing, but to have an opportunity.
No, I love that. And my guess is the Team USA uniform does not conform to that.
Yeah. My daughter would not be wearing that. I would not be wearing that. No, it's just, it's unfortunate. Just like I said, we need to stop the policing of women's bodies. If you want to wear less, that's fine. And she shouldn't be downgraded as a human being for that. But if you want to wear more, you shouldn't be downgraded as a human being for it either.
Yeah. No, it would be really interesting to see, to ask some of the female runners on the track if they feel a lot of pressure to go with the smaller uniforms. You know, they've been acculturated to it. Like, they've been taught that's kind of what they are supposed to do. But really, they would opt for something with more coverage if they didn't feel that sort of pressure.
I wonder what happens with relays. I was in a situation in college where there was a relay where I was being told I wasn't going to be allowed to be on the relay team. And the one thing that I will never forget is everybody on my relay team put on tights and a long sleeve shirt. I will never forget that. The officials were actually mad.
Oh, I'm sure.
I will never forget that.
And, you know, I've been doing triathlons for like 25 years now, and it has been super interesting seeing the evolution of like what people used to compete in versus now, with like the aerodynamic sleeves. And you know, when I first started, it was super common for like guys to just wear their Speedos and a lot of like two-piece swimsuits on the pro women, and now it's just everyone's like so much more covered.
They're gonna all show up like me soon.
Well, and then because I was on my college cycling team, like I was very familiar with like the skin suits for time trials. And so it was, but it took a while for like the, I don't know, the aerodynamicness of having longer sleeves to like catch on to triathlon, which is a little surprising.
Yeah, you'd think. I guess the coolness for the run is what more people were thinking about, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, also the swim, if it's a non-wetsuit swim, it's not super comfortable wearing sleeves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're moving in the right direction. It's just, it's very slow. It's very slow. But I do think, to speak to Jocelyn's point, the fact that, you know, most athletes out there aren't wearing two pieces anymore, female athletes, like probably there are a whole bunch of women who are more interested in triathlon. And as we have a little bit more coverage on the suits, like that makes it a more inclusive sport for sure.
And you'd be surprised, the full coverage kit that I did with Varlo, half the women who bought it aren't Muslim. They just don't want to worry about sun protection, and you know, they just feel comfortable in it. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Love it. That's awesome. All right. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to put Celine on the hot seat.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored heel to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the AminoCo Heel Chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all AminoCo products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's AminoCo, AminoCo.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift.
Okay, so Celine, having somebody who, on this podcast, we don't necessarily have the most like knowledge, but we like to discuss, we like to speculate, come up with, you know, movie plots, things like that. So having somebody who actually knows stuff, I think that's pretty cool. I've asked all the three of us to kind of come to the table with some questions in mind about what we want to know. We want the real knowledge from Celine. So
it's late in the day. We'll do my best. Okay.
Yeah. We're all tired. Like, I didn't ask for many questions. Nothing like groundbreaking. I don't know. I feel like there's a huge smile on Jocelyn's face. I know this is a podcast, so you can't see that, but she's ready to go. She's got some good questions lined up.
I have
up
two
here.
Questions. One is a cycling question, and one is about hormones.
Okay.
And periods.
Oh, her favorite word.
I love talking about periods. But the first one, because we ask each other for advice, so that's fun. But I was telling you before the call, I've been biking since I was 18 and now I'm 42. So I I didn't have a smart trainer till recently. I've always trained by RPE, but I got a smart trainer like a couple years ago, and now I'm trying to train more seriously for Eagle Man. I also just got my first power meter, which is kind of fun after over 20 years riding bikes. But I have no idea how to train with power. So what would you tell someone that has a lot of experience cycling in general, but hasn't ever trained with power? What do I do first?
You know, I will be completely transparent here. I raced semi-professionally for, 10 years or so, and I rarely used power. I was a mountain bike stage racer. I trained for my first Ironman and Kona without power, so I'm a big RPE girl. That said, when I did use power, I completely understood the utility of it, especially in triathlon. Because triathlon is essentially time trialing, right? I mean, you do, and staying in a zone, it's kind of a carrot and a stick when you use power, because you can look down and you can be like, oh, I can do more than this. Or you can look down and go, oh, I got to cool my jets a little bit because I'm frying myself for the run. It's very easy, even if you're RPE requires you to be in the moment and really be paying attention. And a lot of times you're really not paying attention, right? Okay. You think you are, but you're just it's so hard to not get just caught up and get ahead of yourself or not stay in a zone that you actually can sustain. So a power meter lets you know that and lets you train that. So that does become more automatic and it becomes something that you can feel a little bit better. And, you know, you asked the first step. I mean, the first step, honestly, would be to find out your functional threshold power, to actually do that kind of test, because then you can. And I personally am not one that lives and dies by numbers because it takes the joy out of it. But for structured training, I think it's really, really useful, to do your training intervals, to stick into a power zone and to see that. And then it's kind of confidence building, because then if you are in a race and you are feeling nervous and you're just sort of especially since it's been a long time since you've been doing those kind of distances, you can look down and be I am going to hold 240 watts. It just gives your mind a task. Like, mm-hmm. I know what I can do for this kind of duration on a flat ass course like Eagle Man. Yeah. I mean, that's perfect for a power meter. That kind of course is really good for power, for riding by power, because it is so flat. Yeah. So I would just find out your, you know, do the FTP, get that. Uh-huh. And then, you know, you can just go on the internet. It's a wealth of information to get your zones. You don't even have to get a coach. And just, you know, apply some structure to your training using that power. And then for like a half Ironman, you'd be doing 75 to 85%, you know, of that FTP.
Okay.
And you're golden. I mean, it's that simple. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. It's just another piece of information. But for an event like that, I think it's...
I like that, because I do have... I pulled a FTP goal number out of my butt for like my goal this year. So I have been testing regularly.
Okay. I mean, there are other ways to get them, you know, that don't involve cavity searches. You can go and there's other ways. Just, or tests, protocols that you can do.
Awesome.
Give you an actual...
Yeah, no, that is super helpful, because that gives me like, I have my FTP and now I like can like zone in.
Yeah.
Like, no, what to hold.
But that's what I liked it. Like, it calmed my monkey brain down. Like, that's one of the things that I did like about it. Like, when everything was chaotic and I was having a hard time sort of like just bringing myself center, I mean, I could just be like, all right, I know this number. I can hold this number. This number is what I should be holding, and just like sit there and just believe, you know, trust that process.
Awesome. Cool. Love it. All right, Khadija, you're in the hot seat now. What's your question? Oh.
Okay, so I was going to ask a cycling question, but I guess since I'm the oldest, maybe I can ask a hormone question.
Sure.
So like most of the women my age are always like screaming about hot flashes and all this other kind of stuff.
Can I ask what age that is?
I'm 55.
Oh, me too.
Okay, but I have all these things that people say that they experience. I haven't experienced any of that. And I'm wondering, does the fact that I'm an athlete like make you jump over that?
No, yeah. No.
That'd be nice.
No.
I hope so.
No.
I hope that's how it works.
I thought so too, but it didn't work that way. But everyone, to be very clear though, are you post-menopause? Are you?
Yes.
Do you, okay.
Yes.
Okay. But you never went through, I mean, because some women just don't. And you've had a lot of children?
Yes.
yeah. So, I mean, your exposure to hormones is like, there's so many variables, Khadija, that goes into what your menopause experience. And to be clear, like, being active and athletic does help. But there are a lot of women that hit the wall hard, no matter what. And, you know, a lot of it is genetic. A lot of it is whatever. But you got lucky.
Yeah, because I see all my friends, like, fanning and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
That's
like,
the classic.
What the hell is wrong with you? And then the AC's on and they're sweating and I'm like, okay, are you ill?
You're for no. Yeah, no, they're not, but they feel no, you're we just have... I mean, you consider yourself, you got a good lottery ticket there.
Okay, so I was wondering if it was the training, and I do have a large family, and I had my last pregnancy was 42, so I had my twins at 42. So,
yeah, I mean, so there's so many variables, but also good genes, good luck. So yeah.
Thank you, Mama.
I'm jealous. Because that sounds, you know, like a rare experience. Yeah. I think probably a lot of women on here listening are going to be like, "But Khadija, tell us your secret." All right. So mine is, all right, perimenopause is looming.
Yes.
What is the current consensus on hormone replacement therapy? Because I know that there's been a lot of debate. Or is there a consensus?
Oh, there's continued debate. But I mean, the consensus is it's much safer. It is largely safe unless you have, you know, if you've had breast cancer, if there are certain risks. But even then, like low doses, the therapies are in general lower doses than they used to be. So they are safer. They're safer for more women. They're safer for longer. And if you, I mean, I guess my real take home message for that is if you're having a lot of hot flashes, a lot of night sweats, the stuff that we used to just fan away, like Khadija was talking about, do not ignore it. Get therapy, because they're linking a lot of symptomology to chronic disease down the line. They're not benign. They don't quite understand exactly what the connections are, but those connections are pretty strong. So take your symptoms seriously. Don't just buy a fan. Don't just open all the windows. You know, hormone therapy just takes down the fluctuations so you're not suffering. And you can be on it for a long time. You don't have to be, but there's no need to suffer.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really good knowledge. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited to listen to the series. It's on the Women's Performance Podcast. All right. So Kelly did leave us with a question, and she's currently interviewing a whole bunch of athletes at the Olympic Media Summit. And she says, everybody asks the same questions. What do you eat? Do you have any superstitions? What's on your playlist? All right. What would each person here ask?
How long has the Olympics been your dream?
Ooh, I love that. Jocelyn.
I really was interested in like the break dancers. Like, what do they feel about being called B-boys and B-girls?
Yeah. You know what the crazy thing is? I remember as a kid, us being threatened to get arrested for dancing on the street. And now it's an Olympic sport, really. It's almost...
Times change. What would you ask, Khadijah?
I don't know. I have some friends from Jamaica, and now I know you. I know a couple of Olympians, like, personally, and I just feel like they're just regular people. And I don't know. I don't know if I would ask them any questions differently than I would ask, you know, just a regular person. I don't know.
I'm deeply offended. We are not regular people. We are.
With a gift from God that others don't have. You know, but most of them, they're just down to earth. They have hopes and dreams like everybody else, and this is just something that's burning in them that, you know, makes them.
So you just a regular going. Question like
and how cool are tattoos.
Yeah, cool yeah. tattoos.
Cool tattoos.
Yeah.
The croissant tattoos. Did you hear that?
We have to ask Kelly about the croissant tattoos. Yeah. I think I would ask them, if you are in an elevator with some network executive, can you give me a pitch for a reality TV show for your sport? Like, what would the name of the show be? Like, what That's would cool. the drama be? Like, tell us, like, what are the meaty bits? Like, really sell me on it. But yeah, I want to know. I want to know what are the juicy, gossipy sports out there. Like, what is the Real Housewives of Atlanta equivalent in a sport?
Perfect. Perfect.
Well, hopefully we'll get the lowdown next week from Kelly. Thank you so much, Celine, for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I can't wait to check out the podcast. And I'll see everybody next week for the group ride. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.